Let us pray. Grant to us, O Lord, the royalty of inward happiness and the serenity which comes from living close to you. Daily renew in us the sense of joy, and let the eternal Spirit of the Father dwell in our souls and bodies, filling every corner of our hearts with light and grace, so that bearing about with us the infection of good courage, we may be diffusers of life, and may meet all ills and cross accidents with gallant and high-hearted happiness, giving you thanks always for all things. Amen. Please be seated. That prayer that I just shared with you, I think, is very profound. And I get a sense of how profound it is when I learn about the background of the man who wrote it and the stage of his life in which he wrote it. It was written by Robert Louis Stevenson, the author that many of us know from my high school days, having read Treasure Island or Kidnapped or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And evidently, he did not have a very joy-filled life. But in his last 5 years, as he was suffering from tuberculosis, he had a conversion experience. And evidently, at that time, even in his suffering, that is when joy entered his heart. And in those 5 years, he wrote a lot of prayers, that being one of them. And it is amazing to think, as he spent 3 of those 5 years on the island of Samoa, basically wasting away, that he had that inner joy. Today is the Sunday of joy, the third Sunday of Advent. You see the pink candle we have here, and traditionally that third week when we talk about joy is signified by the pink as opposed to the purple in the candles that we have. Well, this Advent, we have been looking at those four different words that correspond to each of the weeks of Advent. We looked first in our first week at the week of hope. And if you recall, as we looked at hope, we talked about it in terms of sort of the future orientation. Because we know what is going to happen at the end of the story, we can have hope for our future. We use that simple toy explanation of the jack-in-the-box, that as the child turns the crank, they know after they've done it a few times that at the end of the song, the jack jumps out of the box, and the child will be giggling or laughing even as they're turning the crank in anticipation, joyful anticipation. That's what hope is about. So I think it would be fair for us to say that hope is the one that would be connected with our future. Now, in our second week, we started to look at peace. And the toy example that we used was that spinning top. With us, if we have Christ as our center, as that top spins around, and the entire world might be in chaos and confusion and disorder, but with Christ and us in the center, we can still have that inner peace right now. And as right now, I think it would be proper to say that then this inner peace, the peace that passes all understanding, could be connected then with our present. Which brings us to this week, the week of joy. Well, if hope is connected with our future, peace connected with our present, then that only leaves one thing, that our joy can be connected with. And that is our past. Now, how could that be? When we look at this gospel in its context, I think John has a lot to teach us about joy connected with reconciling our past. When we studied the fruit of the Spirit in this church, joy was one of the aspects of that fruit of the Spirit. And as an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, joy is something that we are all promised. It's not like a gift of the Spirit that some get it and some don't. The aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is a promise that God gives to each one of us. We are promised to have joy in our lives. Joy as opposed to happiness. Sometimes we use those terms interchangeably, but there's a big difference between joy and happiness. Joy doesn't go away. Happiness does. Put a plate of ice cream in front of me and I'm a happy guy. Let it melt and I'm no longer a happy guy. But I can still have joy in the depths of my heart. Now, when we looked at joy before, we used this as the acronym with the J-O-Y, the J standing for Jesus, the O standing for others, and the Y standing for you, for yourself. What we did with those who were at our quiet day yesterday is we looked at this tic-tac-toe board, our toy for the week, and we looked at the different boxes in terms of the ways in which for our future, our present, and our past, in those relationships with Jesus, others, and ourselves, we are called to put the X in the box. Now, when you play a tic-tac-toe game, all you got to get is three in a row, but when we look at our lives, we really need to have all of these boxes filled in with your X or O of choice. I want to look today at this particular lineup regarding joy. And as we relate it to our past, if we are able in our relationship with Jesus, in our relationship with others, in our relationship with ourself, if we are able to reconcile our past, we will have joy. And I want to look at it in terms of John the Baptist today. In just 11 days, we're going to hear the angel proclaim, "I bring you great tidings of great joy." What's that about? Well, John tells us what it's about and how to get it. John has all of these people coming to him. All around Judea, people are coming to John to be baptized. He is a popular guy. But that is not what he seeks in this particular situation. Imagine what it would have been like for John growing up. We're going to hear, as we approach Christmas, the story of the baby stirring in Elizabeth's womb when Elizabeth and Mary get together. And the respective babies in their mother's wombs are John the Baptist and Jesus. They're only a few months apart. They're cousins. They grew up together. Can you imagine what it would have been like for John to have Jesus as his buddy, as his best friend? Think about that. If they played baseball in those days, guess who would have won every game? If they played Trivial Pursuit, Jesus knew all the answers. If they would have had video games in those days, guess who would have won every game of Guitar Hero or whatever else they chose to play? John would have had to have come to an incredible reconciliation, an incredible getting in touch with who he was and what his role in life was, as well as Jesus, for him to be able to do what he does today. He's always number two. Jesus is always number one. Now he gets to this point and all these people come to him and he's so popular. This is his moment of truth. John, who are you? And he could have done whatever he wanted to do to keep that popularity, to keep those people focused on him. But he doesn't do that. And I can almost hear the joy in his voice when he says, "It's not about me." Because he has had this experience of Jesus throughout his life, he is so excited. And he says, "I'm not the one. The one who's coming after me, you're not going to believe this guy. I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. He's so special." He's just bursting over with joy. And why? Because he has gotten in touch with that past, not only with himself, but in his relationship with Jesus himself. And there's his joy. So where does that fall into the picture for us? What resentments do you have about your past? Whether it's where you feel like others or Jesus or even yourself has let you down, and you haven't let go of that stuff, I guarantee you, you will never have that promise of joy fulfilled in your life until you can let that stuff go. That is how joy links with our past. When we can look back and we can let go of all that, and the resentments just fade away, and we become the joy-filled people that we are promised we can be. I'm sure many of you have friends that you've had for a long time, as I have as well, and I was able to get together with a friend of mine who's been a friend back from college days. And the difficulty for me is every time we get together, there is a mix of happiness with being together again, but there's also sort of an overwhelming sadness, because every time we get together, we don't concentrate on our hopes and our inner peace that we have now. We're always brought back by him to the resentments that he has about things that happened 25 years ago. And it just comes up over and over again. Well, maybe it was the Holy Spirit, or maybe I was just sick and tired of it, but when we were together this last time, when he started to slip back into that whole speech that I could recite for him, I said, "When are you gonna let it go? It was 25 years ago. You are never going to have joy in your life until you just let that go and move on." Well, he choked on his cannelloni. I mean, he jumped back. But in the conversation that was probably more meaningful than we have had in 25 years, there were some tears, and perhaps the beginning of a road to healing and letting go for him that is going to enable him to be the joy-filled person that God calls him to be, promises that we all can be, that John the Baptist gives us the perfect example. The angel is going to bring great tidings of great joy. May we open our hearts to let that stuff go, that great joy can be ours. Let's take that to prayer.